everybody, and welcome to this podcast. It is part of our Walking with Jesus podcast here at the Broadway United Methodist Church. I am Pastor Harley Wheeler with the Broadway United Methodist Church, and I'm here with Cameron Tamakis. Say hello to everyone, Cameron.
Hi, how are you?
And so we're so glad that you've joined us today and taking some time out to be with us as we talk about things that God has been doing in our lives and the things that he has drawn us into and the places he has led us. And so I wanted to read one of the Bible verses we've got ahead for us today. It is Romans 6:23, and it should be familiar to many people who witnessed or who have been witness to or just listened to good preaching in church. It says, Paul writes, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Amen. Let us just pray for a moment.
Sir.
Father God, we're thankful for this day. We're thankful for those that are listening, and help Cameron and I both to glorify you, to express through our lives your son's image and his love for the world. And call us, Lord, all the listeners and the speakers of today closer to your heart. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Cameron, we're welcoming you back in town because you have been off at the Citadel is your school. Yes.
And yes, sir. Well,
where is that exactly? I've always heard of it, but I've never.
Yeah. The Citadel, it's a military college in South Carolina. It's in Charleston, South Carolina. Mm-hmm. And it's not a service academy. It's just a military college. So it's like any other college, but we just live a military kind of lifestyle, you know, morning formations, uniforms, military courtesies, all that jazz. And it's really, it's a great school. I love it. I don't think that I would be a successful college student if I didn't go to a school with the kind of structure that it's given me. But yeah, so I'm back here, just for a short period of time.
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah. one reason, that we brought you in, Cameron, is because I heard you speak in our Sunday school class, and you had a story to tell because you were progressing out to do some beach evangelism over the summer, and of course God has some surprises in store for you. So I'm just wondering, do you feel good enough just to kind of start in on telling us your story here?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, ultimately, it is my personal testimony. It's my transformation from death to life, the new creation. It starts whenever I actually first went to the Citadel. Well, actually, just prior. So, I mean, I grew up here at Broadway United Methodist Church. I went to a Catholic school, and, you know, I was raised in a home with a Greek Orthodox dad and my mother, of course, who brought me here to Broadway. I've always been exposed to Christianity. I grew up my entire life believing that I was a Christian, believing that, you know, I was going to heaven. But a lot, like, I was the Lord of my own life, you know. I did not allow what I said I believed to really influence my decisions. Or, you know, I said I believed one thing and I acted a whole different way. So that takes me to the Citadel. My freshman year, I started it in fall of 2018. And from there, I met a gentleman by the name of Marion Stallings, who was a student leader with a ministry called Campus Outreach. So being a military college, whenever you're a freshman, you're kind of treated like crap. They have a plebe system there. They call them knobs instead of plebes, though. And they do not treat you well. It's a hard year. But Marion was a senior. He was an officer in the Corps of Cadets. And so being a senior officer, there was a lot of appeal to, you know, hanging out with him and being in good graces with him. And in the process, he shared the gospel with me. And because he was a student leader with Campus Outreach. And so from there, he eventually convinced me to go on a program called the Leadership Project through Campus Outreach Ministries. And the Leadership Project, it's a 8-week program that Campus Outreach Ministries do all around the nation. This one took place in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And ultimately, the goal of it was to equip college students with the skills and the knowledge to be ministry leaders on their campus. So I was going into that, not actually being a Christian, not actually being a believer, but saying I was. And it was a really difficult time for me because I was in this greenhouse of faith where every day we're learning about new elements of our adult Christian lives and what those should look like and how to love the Lord with just everything we do. And so I rejected a lot of that because I wasn't a believer, because I wasn't ready to let go of my own life. And a lot of that came to realization during our beach evangelism. So a big part of the program is on Mondays we do beach evangelism. And that's about three hours or so set aside where we all go out on the beach and we just share the gospel with people. And we do that in a couple different ways, just through general conversation, also through a thing called the bridge diagram, which uses Romans 6:23 to break down the gospel into kind of little bite-sized pieces so that people can somewhat understand what Jesus came to do here on the earth. And so for the first few weeks that we were out there, I just couldn't say anything to anybody. I froze up. I just refused to go up and talk to anybody. And ultimately the goal of the beach evangelism was to break down those social barriers that prevent you from speaking to somebody. Cause if you can talk to a stranger on the beach about it, then you can talk to anybody about it, you know?
That would follow. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I had a hard time doing that because, I mean, I couldn't share this with somebody. I couldn't share the love of Christ with somebody if I hadn't accepted it myself. Uh-huh. So after, I think, the first 2 weeks or so, one of the gentlemen on staff, his name was Tyler Raines, he kind of took notice and invited me to go out with him on the beach during a beach evangelism Monday. And we just talked the whole time. And he was asking me questions and asking me about, you know, why I didn't feel like I could share with people, why I froze up. And it eventually led into, you know, like, where do you think, or who do you think is the Lord of your life? And who do you want to be the Lord of your life? And this went on beyond the time allotted for beach evangelism. And so we ended up going back and we went out the next week and there were a lot less subtleties. He went in with a game plan. He knew what he was doing. Eventually got to the point where, you know, I admitted to him that, like, I didn't think I was a believer. I didn't think I believed what I was trying to tell these people I believed. And so on the beach, ironically, during beach evangelism, I prayed to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. It was kind of weird because, you know, you go out on the beach one way and you come off the beach another way. It's kind of, it was just weird. And to go there to all these other Christians who are on the project, these young, fiery, passionate believers, mm-hmm. and they look at them and say, like, hey, I've been lying to you guys for the last 3 weeks. I'm actually now a believer for all of 30 minutes. That was really hard. And even harder was, you know, calling up my mom and calling up my dad and being like, hey, like, this just happened. And they kind of weren't understanding at first, but they were eventually like, oh, okay, like, we get it, you know? Uh-huh. So that's how I came to be a believer. And I was really fortunate because, you know, I accepted Christ in probably the best environment that you could do it in, you know, really hit the ground running, in this environment where every day we're encouraged to get in the word, every day we're learning more about what it means to be a Christian, what it means to have a mission mindset, and living your life on mission. And so that helped me out a whole lot because, you know, I became a believer and, you know, suddenly I'm surrounded by believers who want to just build me up and help me to basically serve the Lord with the rest of my life and serve the Lord as best as I can.
Yeah, I think that you probably had a better, you know, more New Testament experience with that impression when you're reading St. Paul that he thought there were that many believers that, oh, we're just kind of towing them along, you know, that in other words, for him, if the church was a ship, there were no passengers, there were only crew, you know,
yeah.
All got something to do. And a life-changing thing has happened. And as St. Paul was pointing, look, everything changed when the Son of God, you know, who came to earth and was a Jewish rabbi, when he died on the cross, everything changed. And for us, the news that, or you could put it another way, you know, since I know what we believe about Easter is true, it's the most important news there is. It's the only, you know, that you have to have this. And so that, then we study, then we say, well, this has got to be shared. Then we say, there is work that God is calling me to do all in response to this. And yeah, we can sometimes struggle in a church to say, well, I'm excited that you're in this new life. And sometimes we're even saying to ourselves, I hope it's genuine, you know? And then we're trying to say, well, now how shall we put meat to this? And sometimes in the church, there are not as many study opportunities, not as many service, you know, and witness opportunities as we'd like. So this continued, as I heard on Sunday, this continued to bear fruit in your life. Now, how did that then sort of, what happened next for you then?
Well, I finished up the program and I went back to school. And I mean, it's crazy to think about even now that's kind of the Lord has, you know, pushed me in these directions. But I and two other classmates of mine that were also on the project, the three of us decided that we were going to start a Bible study with the guys that were living in the same barracks with us. As I mentioned before, we have, you know, this whole freshman knob situation. I was a sophomore cadet, and as sophomores, we're expected to work hand in hand with the guys that are like the drill instructors of sorts. Uh-huh. And as a sophomore, my job was basically to be the good cop to all the bad cops. And I mean, I don't know how that came to be, but or where that initial motivation came for me to apply for that specific job. But yeah. I know now that like the Lord was giving me an amazing opportunity, because I was now expected to have a good relationship with these knobs who are all kind of going through the worst year of their life, and to be the kind and the loving person in their lives to you know, basically kind of even out all the not fun stuff that's going on. And that gave me a wonderful opportunity to start sharing the gospel with these guys and to invite them to our Bible study. And it got to the point where we had a solid group of young men who wanted to learn more about God or already knew the Lord and just wanted to have that kind of community. And it was really amazing. And we actually kept this group going for, the last 2 years, and we're expected to keep the group going into next year. And the best part about that is we've had young men who, have given their lives to Christ, through what we've taught them and stuff. And to start our time with them, the relationships that we build with them. But also we have young men who sat there and said, you know, I want to do this for my knobs. I'm a junior now, or I'm a sophomore now. I want to go and I want to share the gospel with the guys that are around me, with the freshmen that are around me. And it's just that kind of discipleship relationship that I never expected to have with these guys. And to see them also wanting to go and disciple people later on has just been beyond motivating. I mean, it's amazing. Really stirs up my heart. One of the main themes that we have for our Bible study actually is Hebrews 10:24, I believe. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works.
Yeah.
Not neglecting to meet up together as is the habit of some. But something as the day is drawing near.
Encouraging one another, and all the more as you see another,
the day, all the more as the day is drawing near. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's an overlooked passage. Of course it's a favorite of ministers because it says you need to come into church. Do not neglect to together.
Yeah.
And I suppose we connive to get it in there just so it would help us to nag people about attending, but you know, stir one another up. I mean, there's we need to do that. You know, the stirring up sometimes even it takes place within us. You know, you'll find as we walk through, you could describe it. Sometimes my mind and my soul needs to stir up my spirit, and sometimes my spirit needs to stir up my mind and soul and body. That now and then our faith will flag, or we will just get into discouraged and a kind of a dark moment, and then the things that you know will come to rise, and you say, wait, I know that God is faithful. I've read that, I've seen that, I have evidence for it in my life. You know, why are you downcast, oh my soul, you might say, which is basically David's head stirring up his heart.
Yeah.
And then now and then we'll also get confused, and circumstances will turn us, you know, turn our heads, and we maybe won't know where to turn. And your own, but deep within you, you know that God is in there, and almost wordlessly you can point out and say, okay, no, set forth this way. I'm just glad that your conversion followed a setting forth into the work and under guidance too, because you had good and faithful leaders. It looks like their leadership project was to equip you with the knowledge to be a ministry leader on campus. Actually, they could say, wow, it accomplished all its aims, you know.
yeah. I mean, they have a lot of goals whenever they get in there. I think probably this is kind of silly, but one of the biggest things that it taught me was like what it's like to be an adult, you know, living as a Christian, but more so just living with other people as an adult. Yeah. Because, you know, at the Citadel, it's a very different environment from, you know, just living in a room with a bunch of guys where you're expected to wash dishes and live with one another, you know. But yeah, I mean, I think the best thing that I've pulled from that program and what I hope to kind of maybe instill isn't the right word, but encourage with the guys that I'm living with this summer whenever I go back is having a missionary mindset regardless of where you are, you know. Being able to walk into a room with people that you know and that you love and thinking, you know, I know that he's not a believer. What can I do to show him the love of Christ? And what can I do to maybe encourage him to seek the Lord? And I mean, I think it's helped me to really have solid relationships with people, both believers and non-believers. But also it's helped me to kind of stay encouraged where whenever I'm meeting up with somebody and I'm saying, hey, like, do you want to get in the Bible sometime with me? You know, do you want to read and go get a cup of coffee and read the Bible a little bit? And they're like, yeah, sure. You know, I don't care. Like, I'd love to learn about it whenever they know nothing about the Lord. And it just kind of sets a fire in you because you're like, why is this person saying yes to me? If this were me 2 years ago, I wouldn't be saying yes to this guy. Like, and so I think that mission mindset is probably one of the best things that I've gotten out of this, because it's shown me that the Lord is really faithful and that the Lord is working everywhere and in everyone. And so that for me has probably been the best thing that the best takeaway that I've had from my leadership project, aside from becoming a Christian. But you know, it's
Well, we're always glad to see the fruits and the just the content God puts in our life when we're living in response to him. And yeah, you've learned, you know, the mission mindset, because I know I had a friend who said, well, you know, we'll talk about let God, you know, steer the car of my life. But that doesn't even make any difference if the car is parked. You actually have to begin to go. And he would, he was a great one for designing ministry experiences. And he says, well, the point is to go and get going. God will take care of details. God will guide you and open doors and things. But his take on particularly probably American Christianity is we're still all just sitting there, you know. And we, as I shared with you before, that people want to witness. Actually, they want to witness. You know, they're kind of stymied on the, you know, they're seeing in their heart they're just not sure, and either they don't believe themselves or they they're still struggling with fear, and also we do sometimes feel like we're going to do it wrong, and so we don't start. So I'm interested that Mr. Stallings there, he kind of diagnosed that you weren't ready to witness because you didn't believe it. Is it, do you think that there's a lot of truth to that? Is it?
Yeah, I mean, I know now that I know that like they all share, they compare notes, you know, they'll be like, hey, like we were seeing Cameron, you know, he doesn't seem to be really taking to what we were learning the other night or what we were studying the other night, or he doesn't want to get in the word, you know, they compare notes. And so I think, I don't know how Stallings felt about me. I think he probably, you know, and I see him every day now, like he's one of my closest friends. He probably didn't think I was really a believer. But that's, I mean, I don't know about up here. I don't really know what the climate is here up north, but that's a serious issue down south where you have, you know, nominal believers who mm-hmm. grow up in the Bible Belt and they don't really know what a relationship with the Lord looks like, but they consider themselves to be Christians. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, that's something that we talk about. We have our weekly ministry training time where we talk about, you know, what are we looking for on campus? What are the kind of the common themes with people and their relationships with the Lord? And so he was probably looking to say, seeing like, okay, Cameron says he believes, but he might not.
Yeah. What's it that interesting you bring that up. I've felt sorry for my Bible Belt pastor friends because see, up north, I have discovered in most of my years of ministry that I no longer so much had the problem of hypocrites in the church, because nobody's coming to church just to be seen there. Nobody's coming to church to impress their neighbors. Your neighbors don't care. Nobody's coming to church even to satisfy mom, because mom gave up on it a long time ago or doesn't go herself. Mm-hmm. And so it has been nice. People in church, generally they want to be there and they're there because they believe and, or working toward belief. And also when somebody shows up at church, I'll tell you what it is up in North. When somebody shows up as a visitor, something's up. Mm. But you can just assume something is up.
Yeah.
Set about to find out what is up and is there some place that we can help, because help is good and help gives us the grounding to share the greater hope that is the gospel. I might add the caveat that New Philadelphia actually bucks the trend, and it's more of a culturally Christian area than I've experienced in donkey's years, you know, just that.
I would say that's probably accurate. And I mean, that's probably where I fell in a couple of years ago, you know, before coming to Christ. Well, it's definitely where I fell, not probably, like it's definitely where I fell. And again, to no blame of anybody else, by the way, I want to add that, because that's all me and my heart posture and not being open-handed.
Yeah. Well, you would find, would if you reflect there, what was God doing in your time here as you sat in Broadway Church, not really buying it, you know, not really. What was he doing anyway to prepare you, do you think?
Can
you
come to mind? So much. You know, I always had pretty solid relationships with the youth leaders, and I think for a long time I did really want to believe. You know, there was always a big part of me that was like, I want this, like I want what these people have. And of course there's a lot of different seasons in my life where either kind of more intentionally rejected things and didn't care, didn't want to be there, and was just there because I knew my mom wanted me to be there. And at the same time though, I think, I know that the Lord was doing a lot, because even as I was leaving, you know, that last few weeks before going to school and being scared out of my mind about going to big scary military college, right?
Yeah.
Like I knew that I would feel more comfortable or most comfortable being at church whenever I'm there. You know, I'd be most comfortable being with other Christians while I was there because I knew that they would be nice to me. You know?
Yeah.
knew what these people would be like. And that was like
all over the world for their kindness and love. Yes.
Exactly.
The stranger.
Yeah. And so, you know, I knew like regardless of whether I really believe what these people are saying or anything, they are loving. And that's always where I felt, you know, and I experienced that here. I experienced that, you know, in my own home, I experienced that, you know, through my sister and my parents. And so, and my brothers, nothing against my brothers, but they were a little meaner to me. You know, so I knew what the love of Christ looked like. Mm-hmm. But I hadn't myself accepted, you know, accepted the salvation. So,
yeah. Well, you kind of called it, you know, you were still the Lord of your own life. I know my way of phrasing it or my condition would be, there are a lot of things I didn't want to give up.
Yeah.
And, you know, and of course for me, once I gave up those things, you turned back and looked at them and said, well, that was no more than trash anyway. You know, there were friendships I had to walk out of, you know, for a time. I've reconnected with most of those people in good terms, but they weren't very good friendships. They weren't helpful. They weren't powerful. They were all leading nowhere. And there were things I wanted to do, and I've done all the things on that list anyway, except I'd done them, you know, along with God and along with the people that God has put in my life, rather than all on my own terms, which would have been a lot worse. And so for you, what did being the Lord of your own life look? What did you have to actually set aside? Is there anything? Well, I mean, well, be don't
talk. I mean, I'm a control freak. You know, I like to make my own decisions. It was, I think it was a faith decision to go to the Citadel. I mean, I wanted to either enlist in the military, or I just didn't want to go to college because I was sick and tired of school. But I love the Citadel now. I mean, it's my favorite place to be, which might sound a little contradictory here in a second. But yeah, so I was a control freak. I still am a control freak, but, you know, I had to just be ready to let the Lord make some decisions for me. One example, I mean, would be like, I wanted to just come back home for the summer, after my freshman year. And I wanted to,
yes, the couch, the bed, the room, the just
exactly, Xbox, the going and hanging out and being an idiot with my old friends and stuff, you know, that's what I wanted to do. Marion Stallings, he kind of showed me, he's like, listen, like, when you go home over the summer, like, how do you think you're going to improve your life? Like, how do you think this is going to improve you at all? You know, is this going to make you, or how are you going to grow as a Christian? Because at the time I was still telling him I was a Christian, you know, he's like, how are you going to grow in your faith? How is this going to improve your relationship with the Lord? And I was like, well, it's really not. And he's like, isn't that what you probably want? And I was like, I guess so, you know, so I guess I'll go on this project, you know?
Yeah.
So that was probably that's my first thought, is like being control freak and also just being liked. The Citadel especially, you know, it's the kind of place where you gain, it's all about your own personal improvement, or it's all about your own personal building yourself up, basically building up your own pride. And part of that also comes with being a jerk to the freshmen and being a jerk to the sophomores whenever you're a junior. And there were times where I drank the Kool-Aid. I got a little bit carried away, but like, I tried to make sure that I was a light to the people around me. And so being a Christian on the campus is very countercultural. It's very hard to be, you know, in with the cool guys doing all the cool, you know, oorah Citadel stuff whenever you're the person who's saying like, hey, maybe we don't, you know, make a knob do push-ups because he looked at me funny. Like, maybe we don't treat these guys like crap for no reason. And so, you know, not wanting to be countercultural, wanting to be liked, wanting to be appreciated is probably the other thing that I would say. Yeah. That said, I mean, at this point, like, around the guys in my company, and around the guys that I live with, like they know, like, okay, Cameron's a Christian, like we can't expect him to be treating the knobs like this, you know. So at this point, it's not, I'm kind of used to it, and it's not something that's as taboo as it was whenever I was a sophomore and I was expected to still, even though I was the good cop, still be, you know, a bit of a jerk. So I think those are probably the two things, is like being countercultural and relinquishing a little bit of control over my life. And those two things are still, like, it's still an internal battle, you know. I still have those kinds of urges, but I have the truths of the gospel to rely on in those cases. So,
well, you're likely to turn out to be a very deep theologian, because you can spend a while trying to sort out, well, a certain amount of pride in your own achievements, or just the, you know, the soldier attitude that is pride in the service, and well, where does that fit into a Christian life? You know, Jesus inhabits that; he is Lord, but he also has made the one who achieves, given them that strength, and also part of that is the mindset that leads to achievement, that the Citadel's nurturing, and I have complete respect for that. I remind people all the time that you have me as a pastor, and now that people are seeing my face, I'm saying, well, now you have to overcome your disappointment, you know, and we're not wearing masks. But also, I'm not type A. I don't think I'm hugely, you know, pride. I'm not going to boast of in any way of my own experiences. I'm not built like that. Yeah. And I keep telling people, you could have a type A pastor. You could have a take charge kind of a person who is 100% sure of what he wants to do. That's a good pastor too. In fact, they can lead you to great things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Somehow the two can be, you know, your Christianity and this positive, assertive, you know, personality, they work. Mm-hmm. But I'm not the one who's going to be able to tell anybody how that works.
Yeah. I mean, for me, like, my litmus test is always kind of like, in anything that I'm doing, whether it's Citadel related or not Citadel related, like, how am I going to glorify God in this? You know, I applied for a rank next year as a senior officer, and I got it, and it's a pretty high up their rank. And it's like, okay, well, like, all right, how am I going to use this to glorify God? That's kind of hard for me, because there's a part of me that's like, man, like, I'm going to have, you know, the big rank on my chest and get to carry a sword and look at me, I'm so cool. But like,
sword. Wow.
Yeah. You know? And so, like, how do I use this to, you know, lift up the kingdom of heaven? Mm-hmm. And I think the position that I got is probably one of the easier ones to do that with, because there is, again, similar to my sophomore year, a lowered expectation to be mean to freshmen. And there's a higher expectation to actually be caring towards people. My job is basically the same as my sophomore year, except I'm in charge of all the good cops.
Oh, well, great.
So, and also it was very encouraging, because I saw the guys that are going to be working for me, and like, most of them are believers, and most of them are people that I know work through other ministries or work through campus outreach ministry. Mm-hmm. And so I even my first meeting with them, I encouraged them. I said, listen, like, if you want to share the gospel with these guys in this situation, like, I'm not going to hold it against you, you know, because my top priority is not this job. My top priority is being able to further the kingdom of heaven among this campus, you know? But yeah, I mean, for me, the litmus test has always just been like, okay, you know, I did well in this competition. How am I going to glorify God in this? How am I going to use this to further the kingdom of heaven? And it's hard whenever you don't have an answer for that question.
It does give one to think. Yeah. Well, I look forward to hearing what the next year brings. Now, this, so are you going back to the beach for evangelism this summer?
Yeah. I'm going back on the project. Okay. We'll be, so part of it is like you work during the day. So we work in a Walmart, you know, stocking shelves. And then in the evenings we do different meetings, learning about just different elements of Christian life. And then I don't know if it's going to be a Monday still, but one of the days, depending on what our work schedule looks like, we'll be doing beach evangelism. And then, you know, in addition to that, we're encouraged to share the gospel with the people we're working with, and you know, just different people that we meet while we're there. So, yeah, I'm pretty excited. I'm going to be a room leader. So I'll be living with like six people and trying to push them and encourage them and challenge them throughout the rest of the summer to kind of help solidify their beliefs and solidify their relationship with the Lord.
Well, great. Well, as I discussed before, once we hit about the 30-minute mark, we figured that's as long as anybody could reasonably expect it to listen to us. So I think I've heard wonderful stuff. I'm excited today. And is there anything else you want to share, or it's also your time to would close in prayer? So
I think I can just close it out. So
well, let's pray then. You go ahead.
Heavenly Father, just thank you for this wonderful opportunity to speak with Pastor Hurley, and Lord, I just pray that you continue to just bless this nation with people who are mission-minded and people who want to share the gospel with you, Lord. Father, I ask that just you encourage each and every one of your followers to seek out the people around them and seek out their hearts. And Father, I just ask that they have the courage to share the love of Christ with the people that are around them. Father, I ask that you just allow us all to be open-handed to you, and that we truly surrender our lives to you, Lord. And just this time of toil, this time of just immense pressure, and Father, I just ask that in all this that we run to you amidst COVID, amidst political unrest and everything, that we run to you, and we don't run to anyone else. Father, I just ask that you give us all passion and zeal, and that you just allow us to love you better each and every day. And we ask all these things in your name, and in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so to our listeners, I thank you for being part of this podcast today. And thank you, Cameron. And we'll just urge you all who are listening to check out one of the other podcasts or the next ones coming on. So this has been Pastor Harley Wheeler with the Broadway United Methodist Church and this episode of our Walking with Jesus podcast.
Thanks a lot. Have a good one.